All right, Kiss Army, welcome to the Kiss FAQ podcast. Thank you for giving us your time today and letting us into your head. I hope we don't do any damage. We're just a bunch of Kiss fans and we talk Kiss. So come along for the ride, you've got nothing to lose.
Welcome to the Kiss FAQ podcast. I'm your host, Julian Gill. I've got two unknown faces with me today. I've got Al Ryan and Vincent LaRussa, who are the masterminds behind The Hooligans, who've released a new cover tribute, and it's called Roll Over and Rock, as you could tell by one of their background, which isn't reversed. That's one that you'll be able to read. Good job, Vincent. You get top marks for having your background the right way around.
Oh, mine's the wrong way? I don't even know.
You're facing backwards, but your Kiss logo is right, so Paul Stanley stars on the correct eye, so we're not going to get anyone triggered on that. So.
In all fairness, Julian, I am an IT guy, so I had a little bit of an advantage.
I'm allegedly an IT guy as well, but I don't want to talk shop right now. I've just gotten out of work. Let's talk.
Apparently, I am not an IT guy, as you can tell.
Awesome. All right. So before we talk about the EP, I just want to, Vincent, I've met you before in person, but it's nice to meet you again a little bit more formally. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
What I always like to do with people who come on this show to talk to the audience is just to give them a little bit of background about your personal history. What was your entry point into this affliction we share, this Kiss fandom that makes us do all sorts of crazy things? And then I'll hit you with another question. So, Vincent, entry point.
My entry point was I was about probably six years old and 1976, and I went to go visit my cousin, and like Italians do, they live in the basement. They do everything in the basement, even though they could have a fully three-floor house. Everything is done, food, everything in the basement. And he was playing with an open album and, you know, as a gatefold sleeves and two number two pencils, and I heard this music, and I went over to him. And I saw this, you know, the inside of Alive. And I was like, what is this? You know? And then the music. And I was just like immediately drawn in. And I was a music lover since I came out of my mom's womb practically. So I was already like so focused on music. And the Kiss thing, just, I think when you just saw the visual of the band, now you really want to get into like, okay, what's this music about? And starting with Kiss Alive, I mean, is there really any better Kiss album at that point to start with that captures what Kiss was all about? So that was pretty much it. I was sold immediately.
Awesome. There is no better entry point than Kiss Alive, and it's really topical for the day with the release of the Super Deluxe box. Al, what about you? What was your entry point?
Same thing, a little bit earlier. It was probably, I think it was 1977. I was probably going on 12, I guess, at the time. And it was also Kiss Alive. My cousin had brought it home, and I just found out, I was just talking to him a couple of weeks ago, his mom, which I didn't know, he's my second cousin, actually worked at Madison Square Garden, and they gave her, just I guess as a promotional thing, the album, and she took it home to her sons. And same thing, like Vincent was saying, as soon as you see the cover, you're like, whoa, what the hell is this? And then listening to the music, I mean, it all started for me right there.
That's really cool. I mean, I'm really jealous of both you gentlemen. Kiss Alive as an entry point versus this schmuck with Kiss Asylum as his entry point. So there you go. It doesn't matter when you get on board, that you got on board. Vincent, what color of Kool-Aid are you drinking? Who's your guy? What's your color?
You got to throw down. It's gonna be Gene these days for sure, you know. So I guess it's gonna be red. It's gonna be my color.
All right, you didn't try and pull a tie, so that's cool. Al, what about you?
No,
I gotta stick with my boy Paul. You know, been Paul's been my favorite guy for a while. So I'm gonna stick with Paul.
You know what? There is no wrong answer. Kiss is Kiss. All right, let's get into Roll Over and Rock. You guys released this I'm going to call it an album. I keep wanting to call it an EP, but cover album, on September the 30th. I want to know, what is the genesis of doing a tribute album like that? We'll talk about all the songs later, but you know, what got you motivated to actually put everything down and record it properly and put out a tribute album? And whoever wants to take it, take it.
Take Vin, it out. I'm going to take it. Yeah, back around COVID, I guess around 2020 or so, you know, being shut in the house and everything, you know, I started to reach out to people that I hadn't spoken to a while. And one of those people was a gentleman who, a mutual friend of Vincent and ours, Matt Milbauer, who Vincent is in a band with now, and I was in a band with prior. I just reconnected and we started talking and we started, you know, talking about maybe recording some songs. We were an original band back in the late 80s. And we said, let's, you know, maybe re-record some of those songs, you know, 3, 4, 5 songs. And Matt suggested, hey, why don't we do a couple of Kiss songs to get ready? I had not been singing for a while. So I was like, oh, that's a great idea, man. We'll do 2 or 3 Kiss songs and then we'll proceed on into the original project. And basically that he turned me on to Vincent. I did not know Vin prior to this. And we immediately clicked, you know, a love of Kiss, just, you know, around the same age. You know, we got each other immediately. And those 2 or 3 songs ultimately became, we just having so much damn fun doing it. It ultimately became, I think, 26 we're up to. So we have a whole nother volume ready to go once, you know, we run this one.
Very cool. I mean, being in the Kiss Army is like being a Mason at times. We speak a very similar language with one another. We know all this minutia and all this geeky stuff that it becomes like a secret handshake when you meet someone new. You know, how did you want to approach doing this, though, to put a stamp on it? Did you want to be faithful to the recordings, or did you want to have a bit of leeway with how you worked with the material? Vincent, since Al went first, that one for you.
Yeah, I wanted to be as faithful as possible. I mean, part of the process of what we did was when a song was chosen, we listened to the original. And I tried within the best of my means. You know, I'm not Electric Ladyland Studios. I'm not, you know, all these great studios that Kiss recorded at. But I really, having knowledge and doing this for 30 plus years and having my own studio and having the proper tools, whether it be, you know, the right guitar or the right bass, or knowing what Gene and Paul and Ace, what kind of amps they use, because you could do everything with modeling these days and stuff like that. I really tried to capture the original sound as best as possible, you know, within my means. So I really was trying to be very faithful to the original recordings. I thought Kiss fans would appreciate that more. I've heard other tribute or whatever you want to call them records that they kind of do their own thing. And it never really resonated with me, and not to put anybody's projects down, but just for me personally, I wanted to be as faithful as possible to the original.
Yeah, one thing that strikes me listening to these recordings is, number one, the consistency from song to song. They are very consistent in quality. And then there's the power. So what are you recording with? Are you doing the Pro Tools route or Logic? Are you doing plugins, modeling, et cetera?
Yeah, so I'm using Logic, Mac. I'm using Logic, and a lot of those tones came from a Kemper, which is a kind of like a modeling type. So you can dial up with whatever kind of amps, and I have, you know, I literally 30,000 to choose from. I have a Gene Simmons Punisher bass, or have, even though he didn't record that in the 70s, but just to get the feel and the vibe, you know, play Les Paul, you know, the different things that, you know, I knew that they were using. If you're doing Hard Luck Woman, you certainly got to have a 12 string, you know, I mean, certain things to really try to capture the sound. So, and I'm such a geek into, and Al could tell you, you know, you come to my studio and you have you certainly have your assortment of different tools you could choose from. So, and I love that.
Who's playing what on this album? Define each one of your roles, Al.
Well, I just sing on some of these songs. Vincent does everything. He is a master musician, an extremely talented vocalist. But yeah, I mean, I sing, I guess, I don't even know how many, what do I sing? Like 9 of the songs, Vin? I don't even know.
Something like that.
Something like that, 8 songs. yeah, so basically I mean, honestly, we had, again, our friend Matt Milbauer come in and play on one song. We had our guitar playing. A lot of the leads were done by a guy by the name of Mike Wren, who's phenomenal. He did a great job. Mike is phenomenal. And Mike did a kick-ass job on so many of these. Who else, Finn? Who else played on it?
Well, I had a couple other... well, on the second volume, I have another guitar player who I play in the Kiss Unmasked cover band, a guy, Kirk Passamonte, and my friend Paul Poulos did the lead on Shout It Out Loud. And I basically did all the drums on it. I did all the bass guitars. I did all the rhythm tracks. And I did a couple of solos. I think, is Mr. Speed on this one, right?
Yes. Yes. Yep.
I did the lead on Mr. Speed and a couple others. So that was kind of, and I did all the engineering stuff. So there's me going like this and tapping myself on the shoulder. So, but yeah, that's, it's, I remember being very young and like 15 or 16 years old and trying to figure out these songs, you know, and now you have all these tools online with YouTube and you could figure things out much easier. So that was fun. It was a really, people don't give, these guys the kind of credit of, as the musicians they are, especially Gene as a bass player. You know, he's an incredible bass player. And there's a great video that I saw recently where this guy, Paul DiBello, he compares Gene Simmons to Paul McCartney, which is kind of interesting. You know, not saying he's as good as Paul McCartney, but kind of, you know, in that essence, you know, it was a lot of fun just trying to capture all these different things from the different players in Kiss, especially
Paul McCartney.
And let me just say one other thing, Julian. Growing up, Peter Criss was my guy. I mean, Peter Criss was my... I always say it's my running joke. My first idol was the Fonz. Then the second was Peter Criss. So from... And the first solo album I got was Peter Criss. Oh, and the first instrument I really played was the drums. And he inspired me to play drums. So whether it's something on Calling Dr. Love where he does all these little ghost notes and stuff like that, that people don't really appreciate Peter because he's such an incredible drummer, in my opinion. And it's just the same as Ringo Starr. Oh, he's not that great of a drummer. Okay. Really listen to the Beatles and understand why Ringo was such a great drummer. So,
yeah. And what I was going to say about Paul McCartney is he's very underrated as a bass player because mm-hmm. what he does is hold down, you know, with Ringo, that backbeat. Yeah. He serves the song. Gene Simmons is not a flashy player.
No.
But if you listen to some of his bass lines, they are very creative, very inventive, and
they
belie. It's easy to say, oh, Kiss music is simple music until you try and do it, until you try and put into your wrist what Ace is doing with his, muting some of the notes with his thumb and some of the techniques that go into what he's doing. And just like you said with Peter, the ghost notes. You've cultivated a really interesting track listing for this release. And I'm just wondering, what was the process like for coming up with those songs? You said you have quite a few more in the can. was it obvious, or was it a process of pulling teeth and thumb wrestling?
It wasn't pulling teeth. I mean, when we started out, I think, what were the first three songs? When it was Strutter was the first song. Got to Choose was in that mix, right?
Yeah.
And one other one, I don't remember. Yeah, we had just, again, it was never, we never intended to do an album. So we weren't really, at the very beginning, it was like, here, let's just try this and see what happens. And then every one we did, we were like, wow, not only do we have fun, it actually sounds damn good. You know, not to sound conceited, but it was like, wow, this is pretty cool. And eventually it evolved into an album, and then, you know, picking the songs and, you know, we definitely want to do deep cuts. You know, I mean, I know I wouldn't want to hear all the same things you've heard 50 billion times. You do have to put some of the staples in, of course, but, you know, Lover All I Can was nice to throw in there. Mr. Speed, we have Making Love on the next one, Save Your Love on this, that Vin sang lead on and did a great job. I mean, just so many. Yeah, we figured let's try to hit on every era and, again, not lose, you know, put the staples in, but also not lose sight of throwing deep cuts in.
And it was fun because Al, you know, as he said, he had the intention of maybe doing three songs. But I think he was seeing that, first of all, you know, again, and I say this all the time, what Kiss does for us as fans, it also brings us together as friends. Me and Al are like great friends now because of KISS. I mean, so it's not, we're not just business partners or working partners. We're friends. You know, we go out to lunch, we'll have dinner, we'll do things like that. And I didn't know Al 5 years ago. So it's a wonderful thing. So Al was getting so, and I was getting excited about it. And he would come as we were mixing and doing, he would go, "What do you think about Hard Luck Woman?" Like, he'd come the next time loaded with a couple other songs. And I'd be like, "Yeah, let's do it." And then the next time, "What do you think about, you know, All America?" And that's really how it was. I think he was getting so excited, and correct me if I'm wrong, he was getting excited about it and then started really think about some other ones that he really wanted to do. And at the same time, honestly, you know, the stuff that I did, like Dr. Love and Christine 16, was purely accidental. I was working with Al doing his things. And I said, "Let me just try and do a couple of Gene." He's doing these, you know, Paul songs. And I never tried to do the Gene thing. I never really tried singing like him. And turns out that Dr. Love became the resume song for me getting into Kiss Unmasked, you know, for the audition for that band, because I had recorded that and I played the Gene in that band, you know. And so it was like this wonderful thing that came totally unexpected, you know. But, and I got some new friends from that, for the Unmasked guys, you know. So this project really, I mean, I got to thank Al for it, you know. If it wasn't for Al, you know, I wouldn't be involved in a lot of this stuff. And talking Alan to you, Kobe. Julian.
Well, you know, we got to look at something good that came out of COVID, and it got a lot of people playing music and playing it remotely, which the moment lockdown was over, they'd get together and make the music. What were some of the biggest challenges affecting this project? And it's going to be different for each of you, I guess, as a singer and as the everyman. So Al, for you, what were some of the things that challenged you?
Initially, I mean, when we had started doing this, you know, I had not really been singing a lot. And so it was tough just getting up to speed. And I've had issues vocally in the past. I've had vocal polyps. I've had surgery, other things, you know, there's always something affecting my voice, acid reflux, you know, it's just one thing after the next, surgery after surgery. It took me a little while to get up to speed with that. But once I got back on my feet, and, you know, Vincent helped me, you know, taught me a lot, showed me a lot, pushed me a lot where I wouldn't, you know, normally feel comfortable going. I did things I didn't think I could do, you know, because of this, and learned, you know, a lot in the process. So it was just, challenging at times. I mean, I didn't intend to like say, "Oh, I want to sound," and I don't think I could, just like Paul Stanley, but I wanted to have that attitude. I wanted to have that punch, that kick, you know, that street in the vocals, at least portray that, you know, and I think we did throughout the album. I think we got a good, it sounds great. It's crisp. It sonically, it's good, but it kicks, you know what I mean? And that's what we wanted. We wanted it to kick. We wanted it to, again, and to impress, you know how KISS fans are, you know, the littlest thing, you know, they can be very critical of. And that's why we wanted to, you know, not really stray too much from the path. I mean, yeah, we do here and there a little bit, but not all that much. And it was just great. I mean, again, the learning process, the fun, the friendship, again, with Vin, and meeting other people, it's just been a great ride. And so glad that, you know, our friend suggested it, and so glad that we all got together and put it into place.
And there is only one Paul Stanley, so that's a very tough challenge to take up. And it's probably, for anyone who's seen a tribute band or been a tribute band, one of the first things that any tribute band is judged by is how convincing their Paul Stanley is, you know, amongst other things, because it's really tough to do a tribute band for KISS because the audience brutal, absolutely brutal. Vincent, for you.
Well, I would say definitely the biggest challenge was myself, and for a couple of things. Well, number one, to ride on the coattails of what you're saying, Paul Stanley, you know, Tears Are Falling, you know, I wanted to do that because I felt like, you know, I thought it would be cool for Bruce, you know, we love Bruce, and Mike Wren is a huge Bruce Kulick fan, so it made him really happy to do it. And vocally, you know, 80s Paul, 70s Paul is really difficult. Now 80s Paul, he's cranking it up another notch, or two or three, or maybe 10 if you talk about the song My Way. But, you know, so that, and myself being so such a perfectionist, you know, the biggest challenge was making sure that I didn't disappoint the fans. You know, I wanted to make sure I don't know if there's anything that's perfect or perfection, but I wanted to get at least as close as possible within our means. And that was the biggest challenge, is just trying to achieve that perfection in my ears so that when people played it through whatever system we're going to live, they were going to get that punch. And that, and Al and I joke all the time, you know, I have a decent studio, but when I crank it up in my, I wish we could bring everybody in this room. You know what I mean?
Sounds so good, man.
You know, so, because you never know what people are going to listen to, you know. And right. Like, I always tell people, don't listen to it on your iPhone.
On your phone, you know, right. I mean?
Listen to it, you know. So I guess that was it. You know, it was just the strive for perfection as close as possible.
Oh, hey, you're still here watching or listening. Why don't you hit that subscribe button or click the like one? And if you want even more, click on the join button on YouTube. Thanks for your support.
Well, I want to talk about a few of the songs. I'm going to read you my notes on several of the songs, what jumped out at me on a listen, and just go back and forth with your reactions to those thoughts. And I'm not commenting on every song. Firehouse, let's start with that, because that's never one of my favorite Kiss songs. But one thing that you really, and it's a theme throughout, and I mentioned it at the top of the show, is the undeniable power with which you're delivering. You're giving that an oomph that it simply does not have on that debut album. So kudos to you, making me enjoy a song that otherwise I'm just kind of blah about, especially live over the last 5 years. It's been one of those trudgy kind of, if I walk fast, I'll get to the restroom.
That's the way Mike Brunn feels about cold gin. It's so funny. He always jokes about that. Yeah.
So it's a really nice work on that and capturing the siren. How do you do the siren? Is that just a plug-in or did you
something? You know, it's funny you say that. I'm trying to think because like for instance, Detroit Rock City, I didn't want to use the original car, so I found something very close to it, you know, in the middle part. I think I just went into like sound libraries online to try to find as close to, as me and Al called the siren. That's like an Ed Norton thing. the siren of the, of that. And yeah, I don't think it was any plugin or anything. It could have been something in Logic, quite honestly, because Logic has a lot of different sound effects. So it's either Logic, sound effect or it's like some public domain, library.
All right. The next one I'm calling out is one I can actually play. It's one of my favorite songs. I've been prepared. I was prepared for years to jam this on the cruise. Love Her All I Can.
Oh, great song.
But I'd be playing rhythm. Who does that solo? Because that is absolutely spectacular. You know, that's a whole kitchen sink full of Ace Frehley technique style. Damn.
That's Mike Wren. Mike Wren.
Frickin' nailed it. Yeah. My goodness. That whole song is 100% convincing.
Yeah, and thank you.
It's in my top three from this release. And if anyone hasn't checked this out and you just want to check out one song to see if you want to listen to anything further on it, go listen to Love Her All I Can. Focus in on that detail. Every single nuance on it is just, for me, spot on. And it's got that power. Total power.
Thank you. But just going back one thing to Firehouse, Julian, you know, we just had, I remember like when Vin was doing the music for it, it just sounded so cool. And then when I got to sing it, the groove was so cool. And it was so, again, hitting it hard, and it was grooving. And I was like, this is nice. You know, I'm going to enjoy singing this one. And I did. And even, I know Mike Brunn, because we were going back and forth for a while, and we would, you know, let Mike listen to stuff and say, are we crazy here? You know, how does this sound? And he even said, I believe that was the best version, the best cover version of Firehouse that he ever heard. So that was kind of early on in the process, and that kind of kept us going and really got us going along. And then Love Her All I Can, again, a deep cut that was so much fun doing. I mean, and it came out so great with the backing vocals, and again, sonically, just another. And kudos to Vincent for being able to put that across. It just sounds awesome.
Yeah, and it should be noted that I was saying earlier, you know, that like something like Shout It Out Loud, you know, a lot of all the harmonies and background vocals I'm doing on pretty much all of the of this record, and just trying to do a facsimile of the best parts of the band, you know, and I think Shout It Out Loud is one of those songs that really shines. One other thing you're talking about with Firehouse, one of the things we did was I looked at the tempos of the original songs to see what it was. And of course, Firehouse on the first album, I'm going to go more live tempo. You know what I mean? Yes. So yeah. We kind of like went like, let's which tempo do we want to choose? And so one song was like whatever the tempo was on a studio record that we liked the tempo. That's the exact tempo I recorded it at. So I just, you were asking earlier about like the process and stuff like that.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
To mention that. Yeah.
Yeah. No. Very good. I'm glad you mentioned Shout It Out Loud because that one's a great example of some of those little details that come mm-hmm. through. The attention to detail, the call outs are what make that song for me. But yeah. Also something else, because I've bashed Shout It Out Loud as well as one of my not favorite Kiss songs. You make it fun. It's impossible not to smile. That's a song yeah. you're supposed to be smiling and bopping your head about. But the call outs just, yeah, again, I was smiling. And that's, I think, an important thing for anyone who does a tribute or records another artist's music. Is it going to make the listener smile?
Yeah.
Yeah. No. Completely.
Yeah. And with Shout It Out Loud, another thing people don't, whether they hear it or not, there's like a tambourine throughout the whole song, you know, that's going throughout the whole thing. There's some hand claps that goes at one part. I mean, I listened to it with a fine tooth comb to try to capture those original. I mean, you know, again, Bob Ezrin, incredible producer sonically, you know, that album, you know, it's just one of the things I really wanted to have. When you heard that chorus come in, shout it. I wanted it to really have a huge impact. And I think we achieved it.
Another one, and it's which version of Calling Dr. Love did you base your cover on? Double platinum? Because you really get the reverby type drum sound going at the beginning of that, which double platinum had on steroids versus the studio version.
I kind of gave it a little bit more of that. That's a good call on your part. But yeah, I did. Tempo-wise, it's the original, but the production, again, closer, just a little bit more of that reverb from like the double platinum thing.
So on my other notes on Calling It Dr. Love was love the Gene vocal cadence. You really nail his diction and how he sings it. But the tone, who does that solo? Because the tone on that solo is another one that jumped out. Is that Mike again?
fucking Mike Wren.
Fucking Mike Wren.
Yep. Right. It's safe to say all the great solos on this record are Mike Wren. I mean, his solo on All American Man, too.
Oh, so good.
The Bob Kulick thing, which is obviously a different thing from Ace, but... And Save
Totally. And that made my notes as well. So, Mike Wren, which guitar... I've got to have to find out from Mike which guitars he was using for these from his arsenal and all those details.
It's funny. I was on the phone with Mike last night. I said, I've been wanting to catch up with him. And we were doing a geek, like, what did you buy recently? And we basically said, you know what, let's stop this conversation. The holidays are coming. Let's get together one day. We'll have lunch and we'll either you come to my place and we'll just nerd out on gear. But yeah, he's a gearhead like me. He's also a guy when I would ask him for a solo, he'd give me like 7 takes. And now I'm like, oh, my God, I got to listen to every. Not that I had a problem with that, but they were all so good. Now I'm trying to choose which one is like the best. I mean, he's so accurate, but. It was really great working with him because once I knew from the first solo, I'm not sure, I think it might have been Strutter was the first solo we got from him. I was like, oh my God, the quality's so good. And it was not, there was never one that I had to go back to him and say, can you do that over? Everything he gave me, I used. It was incredible. It was literally incredible. So kudos to him, man. And we all know you know Mike's fandom of Kiss, so Julian.
Oh, absolutely. I've known Mike for 30 years since Scotland. So long time. All right. Hard Luck Woman. Really, really successful cover from the vocals to the guitars. But what jumps out on me is the bass line. And I also get more of a Kiss My Ass vibe off this one than Rock and Roll.
Exactly.
Roll,
so. Got it. Yeah, you got it, man. You're paying attention, Julian.
Yeah, definitely. You know, there's a live version of Kiss playing with Garth Brooks. I think he was either on Leno or something like that. And there's a female, I think she plays fiddle, and she adds a harmony that's not on the record on the first on the original on Rock Roll Over, and is on Kiss My Ass. And I always loved that harmony. So to your point, I put that in there because I loved the Kiss My Ass version, you know, that Garth did. It was such a great cover.
Yeah, one of the best ever. And now yours is in that same category because, it's just a really successful cover. Mr. Speed, we've kind of talked about, I like that because it's off the wall. But I
love that song. It's lyrically, it's ridiculous. It makes me laugh. My wife always, you know, breaks my chops about the lyrics. I got the kind of loving that you need. That's why the ladies call me Mr. Speed. Ridiculous. Yeah. But I love it. Loved singing it. It was awesome. We had a great time doing that song. Came out really good.
That was always the one that Kiss fans were calling for a deep cut from the band over the past 20 years that they were begging for. Always top of the list. So nice to see it represented. Christine 16, again, really nice attention on the drum fills. And the honky-tonk piano here.
Yeah.
Both, again, those are the elements that, for me, make the song or break it. But those little fills just complete the picture for that. And again, the Gene vocal nailed it.
Thank you. You know, I know you know Jason Herndon.
Of course. Hemden.
Yeah. Did I say his name wrong?
Oh, no.
Oh, okay.
Just an inside joke for Jason.
Oh, okay. Mike was at an event with him. This was previous to when we saw each other. I forgot where he was at. And this is before the album came out. And he had Dr. Love. And he goes, my buddy's doing this. And he plays it for Jason, probably through his phone. And Jason goes, wait, this is not the original? And Mike's like, no. And I thought that was like the greatest compliment, you know, and because I respect Jason so much. Is, you know, he's part of this community of all of us that are just tremendous Kiss fans. And I just thought I would share that.
Yeah, Jason's a really good guy. So, Hooligan, love for the Catman. Thank you. I mean, Team Green here, so that means a lot for me. But it's also an off-the-wall pick. I mean, when you think of doing a Peter Criss song and a Peter Criss co-written song, it wouldn't necessarily be the first choice. But really glad to see some love for the Catman. Whose choice?
Yeah, we decided to. I don't even know. I mean, I don't really remember. I don't know if I did, but once we named the project, the band, whatever you want to call it, Hooligans, I thought at that point we pretty much had to do it.
Yeah, you got to have it.
I think, you know, and why not?
Yeah. So that was definitely it. You know, you know what? Now I got to go back. When you said what was the biggest challenge, like, what do we call this? You know, we had all these ridiculous names, and then I just thought, and I think I remember calling Al and saying, there's a bunch of us working on it. You know, we got Mike, we got myself, we got my friend Paul, we got Matt. We're like a bunch of hooligans, you know, and the Kiss has, because you're always looking for a Kiss song or whatever band you're working on something. And that's where, and then it just became, all right, what do we call it? Like, what do we call the album? And I think it was you, Al, who came over.
Yeah, I just started jumbling the words around. I said, hey, why not roll over and rock? You
know? Yeah.
And there it was.
And we've been waiting for Gene to take down this album cover.
Yeah, we haven't gotten sued yet. No cease and desist or anything yet.
My friend who did it for me, he's a great designer. He goes, are you sure you want to do this?
You're allowed to do this.
I was like, listen, we don't have the Kiss logo. We don't have any makeup. I think it'll be fine. And I know Anthrax did it, but they are Anthrax, and there could have been all kinds of, you know, they had that, I forgot what that album, they did like a similar thing, you know, but yeah.
Well, you'd have to do it in the Gene voice now, Vincent.
Yeah. I know you're a fan.
But Pop House is very litigious. All right, All American Man, you've already mentioned that it's Mike Wren on the guitar solo. And again, the variety that you've got Bruce solos here, you've got Ace solos, you've got lots of Paul Stanley guitar, and you've also got Bob, the underrated extra on too many recordings. But again, that is all about the solos to me, but also the fun. You deliver the swagger on the vocal. Again, it's a really Kiss song. it's got that New York attitude, that East Coast mentality. It's got that 70s rock swagger to it, but that solo is what absolutely kills. So, Mike, I'll talk to you offline and give you your your kudos separately. Save Your Love. That's a really tough song to sing. That's another one I had in the can rhythm-wise to do on a cruise jam. And that is so freaking tough to sing, at least for me. It just, so, just vocally. Who was that? You, Vincent?
It is me, but there's a good story behind that. Mike Brunn calls me one day, goes, because he knew we were doing this, and I would say, "Hey, give me another idea for a song," and he goes, "Save Your Love." I go, "Really?" So I said, "Okay." So I listened to it. You know, it's one of those songs that, you know, I haven't listened nearly as much as I've listened to Love Gun or Strut or any of those other ones. And I start doing it and recording. I don't know, you got Anton Figg on, you know, another one of my drumming idols and heroes. He's got, you know, great drum part. And I start recording it and I call Mike. I said, "Forget it. I just can't, you know, I can't capture this vocal. It's, I know it's Ace Frehley." And he's like, "But I don't understand." He's like, "Get off the phone right now and go back in that damn studio. I don't want to hear it." And I said, "All right." And I listened to Mike, because I was ready to just give up on it. I really didn't feel like I was going to be able to capture, you know, from the original. And from trying to, you know, do the Ace thing. And also, you know, when he goes, "Baby, it's over," blah, blah, and that delay in there, all those yep. little things. And the choruses, trying to get Paul's low voice. And I know Vinnie Poncey is sang on the records with them. But yeah, that was a challenging song. And when I told Mike about it, dude, "Are you serious? That's like my favorite Ace solo." I was like, "Oh, great!" You know, I was so excited, and man, did he friggin' nail it! Holy crap!
Yeah, I'll throw the gauntlet down and tell my fellow fans, go listen to "Save Your Love" as well. The solo is another one like "Lover All I Can" that has a whole dumpster load of Frehley technique in it. Yeah. But then you also have Ace's one of Ace's very best vocals, because it's so unique and it is such a challenge. And you can tell it when you're just singing along to it as a fan, you're not putting any of the breathing into what it takes to actually deliver it and put the focus in the right areas. And that was Ace at the top of his game in many ways, 79-80, coming off that solo album. So great to have that. And then you've got Anton, of course, being represented on this tribute as well. So you've got all these additional people who've contributed to the Kiss story who are being honored by the tribute as well. Tears Are Falling. This is another one that's got that really elemental tom fill that is so central to delivering a legitimate cover. If you screw up that tom work, and Eric Carr's tom work was legendary. Yeah. But the guitars are pleasurable. Mm. It's just big. You make it, and that's something it lacks, I guess, a little bit on the original recording. You've actually injected some power into this. Why this one to represent the Bruce era rather than something else on this album?
Because I feel that's probably top three Bruce Kulick guitar solos to me, you know? I always love the guitar solo. I know I think he may have said that's his favorite solo, and a lot of people have said that. And I just always love the Paul vocal on this. And I love and again, after it was Peter, it was Eric. Eric was my guy in the 80s on the drums. And, you know, Eric Carr's trademark was riding, you know, the tom toms, you know, and that whole boom. I mean, it's such a unique in a chorus. Like, you don't typically got people on the ride. You know what I mean? It's just Eric Carr's like such a unique, even on like, you know, something like we didn't record is Heaven's on Fire. He's, you know, he's like, it's like, those are hooks, just like a guitar hook. They're drum hooks. And that's what really makes and drives these songs. So it was all these different elements that really got kind of excited me about that song.
What about the vocal, Al?
I didn't sing that, Vincent.
Did you?
Yeah.
Bloody hell.
Yeah.
Good job. Across the board on it. Al, then, what's your proudest moment on the songs that have been released on this one and knowing that you've got others?
That's tough. I mean, I All American Man stand out for me. Mr. Speed stood out for me. All the things that we already talked about. Firehouse. I can't even think. You know, Love Her All I Can. Yeah, there was so many good songs that, again, we wanted to get out there. And I know if KISS fans take the time, and I'm going to blatantly, shamelessly ask, hey, listen, this doesn't cost anything. We're not making any money. We did this because we love the music. We love the band. And all we want to do now is get it out into the KISS world. And I mean the world. And, you know, try to make people happy. And I do not think you will be disappointed when you listen to this. You might not like everything about it, but I think if you give it a good, honest try, you're going to come back and listen to it again. And that's all we ask, is that people go out and listen to it and give it a shot. I mean, we were up to, at one point, you know, we're on Spotify, 150 monthly listeners, which is really good at the start. And we want to get that number even higher. It's dipped a little bit, but again, please take a few minutes. I know everybody's busy, but you will not be disappointed. And if you are disappointed and you have a bad comment, bring it. You have good comments, bring it. We want to hear it all. But more importantly, we want to get it out there to people to listen to.
Yeah, frankly, I would not have put you on the show if I didn't believe in what you delivered.
Thank you.
Being worthy of sharing with the rest of the KISS Army. I just simply wouldn't do it. I'd lose your email. Vincent, what's your proudest what's your proudest moment?
My proudest moment, honestly, and Al's not giving himself enough credit. He's talking about songs and he's proud of the songs. But, you know, Al had a lot of challenges throughout this process because of the things he mentioned. And my job as a producer, engineer, performer is to get the best out of who I work with. And Al was there cursing at himself, very down on himself. And it was my job to not let him walk out of there in a bad mood or with his head down. And I pushed him as best I could, as respectfully as I could. And the product is what it is because of Al's work and my experience. So I'm very proud of that. It really has less to do with my performances and things of that nature. It's more of the producing that I'm very proud of, and working with someone like Al, who was kind of dust himself off because he had been, you know, I'm not saying retired from singing, but he hadn't done it in a long time. So for him to come out and like say, okay, I want to start singing Paul Stanley, man, that's ballsy. You know, this is not trying to say I'm going to come out and sing Bob Dylan tunes. No disrespect to Bob Dylan, but I think we know there's a difference between Bob Dylan as a vocalist and Mr. Paul Stanley, you know? So that's my proudest thing about this project is what Al did.
We all know it takes a lot of guts to sing Paul Stanley, because Paul Stanley is judged on a very high level. That bar is set very high when you take on a Paul Stanley song. So I've got no negative notes from listening to this. There was nothing that I said could be better. Any of the songs I haven't focused on specifically are simply a matter of time. But when you originally reached out and let me know that you'd release this tribute, I was delayed with things and getting you on the show. But in the time since then, Ace Frehley has passed away. So I'd just like to get both of your feelings on how does that change your perception of the Hooligans project now that Ace is actually gone? Because that's a real mind funk for me to get over still to this day. I mean, even though you sing and you sing Paul Stanley, Al, how does that change your outlook for what you've created here?
It definitely, you know, it rattles your cage. I mean, because, you know, unrealistically, I mean, you go through your life and you think guys like that, guys in KISS, they're going to live forever. You know, these are my childhood heroes. They can't die, you know, and then eventually reality catches up with you. And then somebody does die and Ace passes away. And it's like, it takes a little part of you. It takes a little piece of my childhood, you know, and it's sad, but it's also, I have to look at things, you know, I get to choose how I perceive everything. Of course, it's very sad. Of course, he'll be missed. But I have to be appreciative of the fact that I got turned on to KISS and I got to enjoy Ace Frehley and I got to see Ace Frehley multiple times. And I still have his records. I still have that music that's never going to die. You know, the KISS thing will never die. We'll be long gone and this thing will keep going on forever. And if we can have a small part in that, that's awesome. But if not, it's going to live forever. So although it's bittersweet, again, I have to choose to really, you know, look at it as I've been blessed to have this band put in my life and every member of the band and every friend, you know, and of course I include Vincent. We've become good friends, and you, Julian, and everybody that I've met since this started. So it's just, you know, it's a gift that keeps on giving, literally. So, you know, Ace will be missed, but he's never, never going away.
Awesome sentiment. Vincent, how about for you?
How do I top that now? Thanks, Al.
I'm sorry.
You know, Mike Brown and I talk about this all the time. I still can't believe he's not on this earth anymore. It's just to what Al was saying, you just feel these are your heroes, that they're going to be around forever, you know, and it's just still not real to me. And I think I'm, you know, one of the things besides the obvious of him passing, was the Kennedy Center honors. I was so looking forward to that, with Kiss being reunited for that and being honored. You know, I just thought, you know, the way the End of the Road tour ended, you know, they never all came together for one last performance. Okay, we understand why. But this would have been a really nice thing, because you don't want your, I always hated when, you know, Paul's talking about Ace and Ace. I never wanted to hear that. I was so tired of it. You know, it's like the trashing and this and that. I mean, you just want people to ride it to the sunset, you know, and just as brothers in arms. And these are the four original guys. So the fact that that's not going to happen, it's sad to me, you know. I just would have loved that one other moment. We knew that Ace was going to be there. From what I understand, Peter's going to be there for the Kennedy Center Honors, whether it's that or something else that they were going to get together. You know, even if I would have heard they went out to Longhorn Steakhouse or something. I know whatever. But, you know, just something that you hear, like you see a picture of the four guys together. Because I think the last time they were together was for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, if I'm not mistaking on that, which I was in the building for that. So, but yeah, it's still not real to me. It's really, really difficult. Really difficult.
Well, a tribute like this makes us appreciate both the passion behind the tribute and the music, which you honor by doing such a superlative job on the tribute. So congratulations to you and all the people who contributed to making the Hooligans what I think is a smashing success. So pimp your product. Where can people find it?
Get out.
Basically on all streaming services. So it's basically, I don't think it's not on anything. If you stream, you should be able to find it.
If you can't find us, let us know. Yeah, if it exists, you know, it's there. That's the way.
It's out there. And again, please just check it out. You will not be disappointed. Please give it a like. Please follow us where you can. We're on various social media platforms. You know, and just, again, just keep the Kiss thing going. You know, this is not a money-making thing. This is a passion. This is a love that we all share. So let's share it. And just real quick, again, I just want to thank all the amazing musicians that participated on this. It is an honor for me to be involved with people of such incredible talent. None more than my friend Vincent. The guy is just not only an incredible guy, he's an incredible producer, engineer, phenomenal musician, well-versed in many, many instruments, and an incredible vocalist. And I am so glad that we got together and this all happened. And again, this doesn't happen without Kiss.
Thank you. Made him blush.
He saw that. I'm like, wow. All right. And also, you know, thank you, Julian. Funny, when I told Mike today I'm doing a show with Julian, he goes, "Oh, wow." So obviously you have some clout, you know. So
none whatsoever. I just have a big microphone. All right, Al, Vincent, thank you very much for taking time out of your evening to come on the Kiss FAQ podcast. I will put all your links in the message right below here. So check it out, everyone. Thank you, Julian.
Thank you so much for your time. Thank you for letting us do this. Much, much appreciated.
Yeah.
Happy holidays, everybody.
Happy holidays.
Thank you for spending time listening to the Kiss FAQ podcast today. All sales are final. There are no refunds. If you'd like, look us up on Facebook or come over to the message board and discuss the topics we've broadcast today. Don't forget to hit subscribe wherever you've listened to this show, and a like would very much be appreciated. We hope you'll join us again, but until then, remember, life's a radio. Turn it up to 10.